Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers. Hello and welcome to another episode of Spotlight Middle East. I am Rahshan Saglam and I will be your host today. The strategic city of Yarmouk in northern Damascus is now in full control of the Syrian army. The city near the Lebanese border is the last stronghold of foreign-backed insurgents in the strategic region of Kalamoun. Almost 10,000 militants have been driven out of the city, with about 1,000 more who fled to Lebanon. The operations were carried out by the Syrian Arab army joined with Hezbollah fighters. Capturing Yarmouk will cut the insurgents' cross-border supply line. Military observers say retaking Yarmouk will have direct effect on the security in Lebanon. Would that effect be a positive or a negative one? How did the Syrian army take control of Yarmouk? And is it true that the conflict between the so-called Free Syrian Army and the Nusra Front was essential in the operations and which made it a success? This and a lot more, dear viewers, will be discussed in today's episode with one of our finest strategic analysts. Hello and welcome, General Ilyas Farhat.
How are you? Fine.
Once again, we speak about Kalamoun area, and you were our guest once when we spoke about the importance of Kalamoun.
Yes.
What is the importance of Yarmouk in Kalamoun area?
The importance of Yarmouk in Kalamoun is that the last stronghold of the Syrian opposition, and it's the main city that remained as a base or a gathering point for the armed opposition smuggled from Lebanon to Syria. It is a gathering point for the fighters, for the equipment, for the arms, ammunition that come from Lebanon to the Syrian opposition. It overlooks the highway from Damascus to
Aleppo.
Homs.
Mm-hmm. And Aleppo, and linking the regions.
Also, it is also, a line of defense, mm-hmm. if we can say, to the capital Damascus. Mm-hmm. Now, the capital Damascus is protected from the north side, all mm-hmm. the north side.
Mm-hmm. We are going to see a report shedding the light about the importance of Yarmouk and how was the city captured by the Syrian Arab army and Hezbollah fighters. Dear viewers, a report and we will be back.
The Syrian army has taken full control of the southwestern town of Yarmouk, the last major stronghold of foreign-backed militants near the Lebanese border. Syrian forces carried out mop-up operations, pushing back the militants from the strategic town in the mountainous region of Kalamoun. Now the takeover of Yarmouk will cut supply lines of the foreign-sponsored militants. The advance is considered a major gain for the Syrian army, which has been engaged in a fierce battle against foreign-backed militants for more than 3 years. Yarmouk was a major smuggling hub for the rebels trying to overthrow President Bashar Assad. The town's fall is the latest in a string of strategic gains by Assad's forces that have consolidated authority in the past months in Syria's major cities, including the capital Damascus. The new gains for the Syrian army come days after forces loyal to the government of President Bashar al-Assad regained control of the town of Az-Zareh following days of fierce clashes with militants in the central province of Homs. However, fears rose in Lebanon that gunmen who fled into Lebanon after Syrian government troops and Hezbollah fighters captured Yarmouk, a strategic town near the frontier, would increase retaliatory attacks against the supporters of Hezbollah. The first alleged retaliation came on Sunday when a suicide bomber driving a Grand Cherokee left several casualties in the town of Nabi Othman, about 30 kilometers north of Baalbek. A group calling itself the Baalbek Ahrar As-Sunnah Brigade claimed responsibility on Twitter for the bombing. "Prepare for the transfer of the Battle of Yarmouk into Lebanese territory," it said. Al-Nusra Front in Lebanon also claimed responsibility for the attack on Twitter, describing it as a quick response to Hezbollah's bluster following its extortion of the town of Yabrud. So will the fall of the strategic town of Yabrud provide safety to Lebanon or conflict?
General Farhat, before we answer the question in the report, we have a lot of questions to answer. How was Yabrud captured by the Syrian army and Hezbollah fighters?
Actually, it was a military operation mixed of conventional fight and a special fight or special operations. That means, first of all, conventional, that means it was based on a reconnaissance of all the area.
Information, strategic information.
And intelligence from the battlefield, plus planning by the operation staff, which means that they mobilized their forces, they gathered their forces, mobilized them, then they attacked and occupied the overlooking hills, and they beleaguered the city from north, east, south, and kept one way free for the fighters to flee away the battlefield. And the special operations is that some special forces from Hezbollah and from the Syrian army launched an storming in the some houses, some key positions inside the city, and they caused panic between the fighters and destroyed the network of command and control and dismembered the structure of the command of the fighters and the forces, which create a chaos between the fighters. Plus the bombing by the Syrian warplanes and Syrian artillery.
This, of course,
and surface-to-surface missiles, which caused also a panic and embarrassed the commanders, the opposition commanders. What do they do with the injured? Where they evacuate them? There are no more hospitals.
And
no
how
more
to flee? They don't have another area or another city in Kalamun to flee to.
This operation is a mixture of all these operations in order to take over Yabrud.
We know that some of the insurgents that were in Yabrud, some of them were captured by the Syrian Arab Army and Hezbollah fighters. The others were fleeing to Lebanon, and others we don't know where they went. Where do you think they went to the cities
neighboring Yabrud? So far, some of them went to Rankous and Ras Al Marra and Flita. And
the Syrian army is now working on those cities.
The Syrian army was chasing them by fire. And now the Syrian forces, the troops, are advancing towards Rankous
and
Flita. Others, they flee to the north, to the rural areas in countryside Homs, where some villages are still out of control of the hands of the regime. So, and hundreds or thousands fled through the crossing points, the remaining crossing points, to Lebanon, to the Ersal area. So far, information from Ersal said that 100 injured entered Ersal, and now they are admitted in a field hospital in Ersal. And the Lebanese army arrested 21 from the militants who entered Lebanon. And I think there is more infiltrations that will take place from Syria to Lebanon, by those fighters and others. Actually, the structure of the command of these those fighters is now broken, mm-hmm. and their movement is individual mm-hmm. and by small teams. But that does not mean that there were no contingency plans. Mm-hmm. They have some contingency plans to
respond. Especially being in Ersel, the area that supports them.
Their contingency plans is to respond mm-hmm. on the fall of Yabrud. Mm-hmm. Either in Damascus, where we witnessed yesterday and today shelling by mortars mm-hmm. to the heart of Damascus, the mm-hmm. downtown Damascus, and in Lebanon.
And we've seen a Homs bomb attack as
well. Yes, and a bomb attack in Homs, and a bomb attack in Lebanon, mm-hmm. and another car was
So those are the repercussions of the fall of Yabrud.
Yes, these were pre-prepared mm-hmm. before the fall of Yabrud. And I think I expect more and more suicide bombers in Lebanon.
That's what I was going to talk about. Do you think that we know that the effect of the fall of Yabrut city is going to spill over to Lebanon, not only in Syria, but is it going to be a positive effect or a negative one? Because we know that if it would be a positive effect, that's because Yabrut was the main area where the car bombs or explosives were coming from. All cars that were loaded with explosives and were bombed in Beirut and Lebanon, in Beirut southern suburbs or even in Bekaa area, were coming from Yabrut. So now we don't have any more insurgents. It is under the control of the Syrian Arab army. So we don't have car bombs coming to Lebanon. Yet we have a lot of thousands of insurgents who fled to Lebanon. And those are as well are a threat to Lebanon. So do you think that capturing Yabrut was negative or positive to Lebanon or the Lebanese security?
Now, given that the Syrian army and Hezbollah forces scored a major blow against the armed opposition in Yabrut in this this three-year-old conflict, means that on the long term, mm-hmm. This is a positive mm-hmm. because taking over Yabrut, that means eliminating a base for the terrorist mm-hmm. organizations to prepare and equip the car with bombs and send them with the suicide bombers mm-hmm. to Syria or to Lebanon. But on the short term, we have to expect that those fighters set a plan, a contingency plan mm-hmm. to respond. Mm-hmm. And of this plan includes the attacks by car bombs and even by belts, mm-hmm. do not rule out
suicide bombers who have explosive belts.
Yes, mm-hmm. explosive belts also. We may see them in all over Lebanon, all over Syria as well. Mm-hmm. So,
do you think they are going to attack the Syrian army, the Lebanese army? I'm sorry, or the Hezbollah strongholds and Hezbollah supporters?
I mean, they believe that they are fighting the base of Hezbollah mm-hmm. or the supporters of Hezbollah. Mm-hmm. But actually, one car was discovered by and blown up by the Lebanese army. The mm-hmm. other was chased by the two people from Hezbollah mm-hmm. who died in the explosion. Mm-hmm. They did not reach their target mm-hmm. in either of the cars.
We are going to speak a lot more about Yabrut and the effect of Yabrut on Lebanon, but after the break. Dear viewers, short break and we will be back. We were speaking about the effect from the fall of Yabrut to Lebanon. And you said that we are going to witness, or you expect that we witness more suicide bombers in Lebanon and more attacks against the Hezbollah strongholds. But we also heard that from something called Ahrar al-Bekaa or something, Al-Qaeda linked ally in Lebanon, who claimed responsibility for the attack in Bekaa and Nabi Othman lately on Sunday. We heard that they are going to attack the Lebanese army as well, because they said that the Lebanese army was supporting Hezbollah in its fight in Yabrut. What do you think? The Lebanese army, would it be attacked?
The Ahrar al-Bekaa are affiliates of the ISIS, mm-hmm. which in their they also are affiliates of Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. And now they consider that the Lebanese army is a target for them, mm-hmm. and they target the Lebanese army at the checkpoint in Hirmal. And we do not forget that they killed a Lebanese officer, captain, mm-hmm. With another one in Irsal, and another occasion they attacked the checkpoint of the army and they killed three soldiers in Irsal as well. Mm-hmm. Now what we are witnessing in Tripoli is something needs to draw the attention of the public opinion, that the so-called the Axis mm-hmm. organization in Tripoli that are backed by some Lebanese politicians mm-hmm. from Tripoli and funded as well, they are now attacking the Lebanese army positions and
patrols
in Bab Tabani and in Malouli, and they fired RPGs on mm-hmm. one of the personnel carriers M113 and caused the death of soldiers
and injuring several others,
seven mm-hmm. or more Lebanese soldiers. And this is a turning point in the confrontation and Tripoli between the Lebanese army and those mm-hmm. militants. And I think this has to do with the situation in Yabrud and the mm-hmm. defeat of those people in Yabrud. We have heard a lot of the militants in Tripoli. Mm-hmm. They consider that they are fighting in Yabrud and they are sympathetic with their fighters of the Yabrud, with the Al-Nusra and
knowing
the
ISIS. They are Lebanese, they're not Syrians. Yes.
And now I think they will retaliate or mm-hmm. respond or anything like this in the way that they see to their defeat in Yabrud by attacking the army points, army checkpoints. Now the Lebanese army is taking measures mm-hmm. On all the checkpoints and positions and forts and another expecting that some suicide bombers may attack the positions mm-hmm. of the army. But this should be should push the Lebanese politicians mm-hmm. for more
to take firm decisions, maybe
firm decisions and mm-hmm. positions in the media, on mm-hmm. the ground, and with their supporters, that this is a danger. This constitutes a danger on all over the Lebanese people and the Lebanese soil, and not only one part.
But General Farhat, we've been witnessing the clashes in Tripoli for more than 2 years now between the opponents and supporters of the Syrian regime. And now those clashes that spread a lot in Tripoli, and it is not non-stopping, and it's almost daily clashes and confrontations between the two areas of Jabal Mahsen and Bab al-Tabani. And now, as you said, it is not anymore against the Alawites in Tripoli. It is not against the supporters of the Syrian regime. It is now also, it became now against the Lebanese army. So what do you think that politicians in Lebanon who support those fighters in Tripoli must do to stop those conflicts in Tripoli and to stop the spillover of the Syrian crisis?
First of all, now the supporters of those people who are attacking the army are now joining the Lebanese government.
Mm-hmm.
So
they are part.
That means mm-hmm. they should hold more responsibility mm-hmm. In order to take tougher decisions mm-hmm. For those people to stop them.
Especially that some of those ministers are from Tripoli, are from
yes,
this area.
Yes, what I'm saying. The Minister of Justice, General Rifi, mm-hmm. He makes no secret that he has relations with those people, and maybe he funds
them. He supports them and funds them.
And you know that the eight ministers are from March 14 mm-hmm. block, parliamentary block, which are represented in Tripoli by Mr. Derbas as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that means they are part of the executive authority in Lebanon,
mm-hmm.
which the Lebanese army mm-hmm. constitutes the military hand of this authority.
Mm-hmm.
So it is hard to attack your hand mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. executive authority, especially that the number one minister who is responsible for the security is Mr. Nuhad Mashnouk, a prominent
member. He is March 14 ally.
March 14,
he is a minister of March 14.
And he should take measures. At least he should visit Tripoli and see the situation on the ground and try to find, to set the situation or to calm down the people or to, I mean, force them to throw their arms and go back to their homes or to their businesses in any way. It is the responsibility of the Minister of the Interior and as well as the Prime Minister.
We've always said that the Lebanese army is a red line, and March 14 have always said that the Lebanese army is a red line. Now their allies are crossing that red line. So when is March 14 going to understand that they don't need to enter a conflict between the supporters of Hezbollah or the supporters of the Syrian regime in Lebanon? This is what the Secretary General of Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, have said earlier, like a year ago, that we are going to Syria so that the Syrian crisis does not spill over into Lebanon. When are those March 14 and their allies and the opponents of the Syrian regime going to understand that what Hezbollah is trying to do is protect the Lebanese borders? And this is what happened in Yabrud lately. The fight in Yabrud, or Hezbollah's fight in Yabrud, was trying to protect the Lebanese borders.
Look, let's go back to Saida and Abra, when Ahmed al-Asir movement and he ambushed or killed eight soldiers, Lebanese soldiers, and the Lebanese army attacked. The Lebanese army, when they launched the attacks, was enjoying the cover of the March 14 and the March 8 as well, even though the March 14 was not part of the of that government. But on a political level, they
all the politicians from both sides were supporting
now,
the army.
Now the politicians in Tripoli are afraid of, recurring the sample of Abra. That means the Lebanese army will
may enter the Tabani area, mass forces
and launch an attack against Tabani. So I think that will be the last resort for the Lebanese army. So these politicians should use their influence on the fighters to stop it and to avoid any new Abra in Tripoli.
This is very important. We were speaking about Yabrud and the importance of Yabrud on the security of Lebanon. Don't you think that Hezbollah working or are fighting the insurgents in Yabrud would affect its strongholds in Lebanon? And you just said that we are going to, or we are expected to be witnessing more attacks. Do you think that we are going to witness soon a new attack on the Lebanese stronghold or Hezbollah stronghold?
The attacks that I expect is separate attacks, not a nationwide war against Hezbollah. It's impossible for those who fled from Yabrud
to gather their efforts
and to reorganize themselves and to launch attacks against Hezbollah. But on the individual level, they may commit attacks here and there, and suicide bombing here and there. So this is what the Hezbollah and the supporters should be careful in their security measures on several levels, even in the levels of a building or a quarter or a city or the highways or other. So, but the Syrian oppositions who are now in Lebanon with their Lebanese allies are not able to constitute a force that can threat the civil peace in Lebanon or to cause a nationwide war like the war in the 75-76, which is called the 260.
But this was the aim of armed groups or insurgents working in Lebanon. This was what Naeem Abbas specifically said when he was captured. He said that we were trying to create sedition in the Lebanese street, and we were trying to create incitement in the in Lebanon so that the politicians and religious people in or sheikhs in Lebanon, Sunni ones, would stand against Hezbollah so that a civil conflict or civil war would happen in Lebanon. This was the aim of the of those groups.
Look, so far, the leadership of the majority Sunnis in Lebanon, the hands of the future. movement. The Hariri mm-hmm. family backed by the Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
It is no secret that also Saudi Arabia backs other organizations, mm-hmm. Salafists and some terrorist organizations.
The Islamic Front.
But now, now we have a trouble in Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
Should Saudi Arabia give the lead to the Salafist and the Islamic Front
mm-hmm.
and over the future current?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so,
mm-hmm.
because the royal decree issued by King Abdullah,
mm-hmm.
the custodian of the two
against terrorist groups against and terrorism.
Yes, against the Muslim Brotherhood, the mm-hmm. Al-Nusra, the Daesh. That means the Saudi Arabia is withdrawing from all this mess by the...
We were talking about that a few weeks ago.
It's not logic to that when Saudi Arabia is withdrawing from these mm-hmm. terrorist organizations and denying any...
Maybe it is a pressure from the United States.
And now it will support those people in mm-hmm. Lebanon and leave the allies in the future current
mm-hmm.
In between, in a space that could be a prey for those people to, mm-hmm. that can
especially that the future movement cannot stand with Hezbollah, and at the same time it cannot publicly stand with the foreign fighters or the
this means that the likelihood of creating a nationwide conflict
mm-hmm.
is very, very weak.
Mm-hmm. We also want to continue about talking about Yabrud. A lot of political analysts and politicians are saying that what happened in Yabrud was not only an army or an operation victory, it was also due to the conflict between Al-Nusra Front and the so-called Free Syrian Army. And they said that the Free Syrian Army was cooperating with the Syrian Arab Army to kind of deliver Yabrud to the Syrian Arab Army and Hezbollah fighters, because of the conflict and the clashes between the so-called the Free Syrian Army and the Nusra Front. Is that true?
Look, the Free Syrian Army was founded on, I think, May 2011,
mm-hmm.
and lasted for 1 year.
As a strong...
as the only armed opposition mm-hmm. in Syria. But after waiting for 1 year, the countries who support the Free Syrian Army and the armed opposition found that
mm-hmm.
this Free Syrian Army
is not enough to topple the government.
Is not effective, and mm-hmm. they can't rely on it in order to overthrow the regime.
Mm-hmm.
So they sought the assistance of Al Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly, and in June 2012,
mm-hmm.
we witnessed the creation of Jabhat Al Nusra.
Mm-hmm.
And
later on, the Nusra Front said that it was allied to Al Qaeda.
Al Qaeda mm-hmm. extended its area of operation mm-hmm. from Iraq through the Euphrates Basin
to the Abu Kamal borders,
from
mm-hmm.
Fallujah, Ramadi,
mm-hmm.
to Abu Kamal, Mayadin, mm-hmm. Deir ez-Zor, Raqqa.
Mm-hmm.
So on this, the Euphrates Basin is under the control of Al. ISIS, Islamic mm-hmm. State of Iraq and Syria. So when the Nusra and the ISIS are funded by the countries who fund the Syrian opposition
mm-hmm.
at the expense of the Free Syrian Army.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe and the United States, they saw the Free Syrian Army as a moderate, as a secular, but it was neither moderate and neither secular
mm-hmm.
because it was scattered and all over the country without
brigades
any commandant control,
mm-hmm.
without any structure, without anything. And even their battalions and brigades were brigades of
they're
the grandsons of the Rasul Muhammad. And
mm-hmm. So they're not secular at all.
Yes, they used the religious names in mm-hmm. order to convince the people that they are, you know, mm-hmm. Muslims and they are...
We are going to continue speaking about that and the conflicts between the oppositions working in Syria, but after the break. Dear viewers, shorter break and we will be back. General Farhat, you were speaking about the Free Syrian Army and how weak it was, and I was asking you if the Free Syrian Army betrayed the oppositions and mainly Al-Nusra Front and the Liberty Abroad. So you were saying that the Free Syrian Army is different brigades and different battalions that is not secular. So what is the Free Syrian Army now?
Rather than it is not secular, neither moderate. It is not found on an operation on the operation level. It's not a credible force to fight. The credible forces of the armed oppositions are Daesh, ISIS, Jabhat al-Nusra, and the Syrian Islamic Front.
They have a strong background.
Since 3 or 4 months when the Jabhat al-Nusra attacked the stores of the Free Syrian Army in Dazaz and confiscated all the weapons that were brought from the United States and Europe, and that made a blow in Washington, how their weapons are in the hand of Al-Qaeda now.
Their main enemy.
Yes, yes, we should always remember that the State Department labeled Jabhat al-Nusra as a terrorist organization. Now, the time came that the Syrian opposition, political Syrian opposition, the coalition of opposition parties or the Syrian National Council, and even the coordinate committees inside Syria or outside Syria.
The politicians.
All of them, they need a military hand inside Syria. The Free Syrian Army failed to be a credible military apparatus in between the hands of the political.
These political factions. Yes. So who do you think is
Saudi
their
Arabia,
hand?
Saudi Arabia, through its man Zahran Alloush, tried to, to gather or to collect all the Islamic Salafist organization
under one front.
Under one front, which is the Islamic Front. Suddenly, or quickly, Abu Bakr Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS, understood that this step is aimed to
eliminate
the presence of ISIS in Syria, especially that Dr. Ayman al-Dawahri issued an order to Baghdadi to withdraw from Syria and go back to Iraq, but he refused his order. Knowing that Dr. Ayman al-Dawahri, before 6 months or 1 year, issued a statement that the Jabhat al-Nusra should be loyal to
ISIS.
And also Julani, the leader of Jabhat al-Nusra, refused the orders of Dr. Dawahri. So there is a trouble between in between the Al-Qaeda organization. Now, the Abu Bakr Baghdadi understood that this step to unite many Islamic organizations
is
pointed against him. So then the war started immediately.
Between the Islamic Front, Nusra Front, and the ISIS.
And the last number of casualties were 4,000 people killed in this war.
Which is within those 6 months, not a lot of time for that much of insurgents killing each other. So now, not the only regime is fighting Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is fighting each other in Syria. In Syria. And we have the Free Syrian Army. What is the position of
now,
the so-called Free Syrian Army?
There is no Free Syrian Army on the ground. There are some people.
But there are rumors that the so-called Free Syrian Army did deliver Yabrood to the Syrian Arab
Army. I don't think that they have enough power to do it. The decision in Yabrood and the influence was to the Jabhat al-Nusra and then to ISIS. That was the situation in Yabrood. Had they the influence in Yabrood, they could have made a reconciliation with the regime as others did in Yalda and Babila and Beit Saham and Madaya and other places.
Also, political analyst also said that the withdrawal of some insurgents from Yabrud and the delivery of the nuns that were kidnapped to the Syrian army through Lebanese and Qatari help, this delivery also was pointing out to the fall of Yabrud. So insurgents knew that Yabrud was going to fall anytime soon. That's why they delivered, or they gave up the nuns for the return of prisoners and the Syrian prisoners.
Before the exchange of prisoners, between the Jabhat al-Nusra and the Syrian government through the Qatari and the mediation, I think the Jabhat al-Nusra has taken this step. Because they were fully aware that the time of entering Yabrud by the Syrian army is not far. So they were expecting that.
Why didn't they try to prevent it?
They didn't fight to prevent it. They fight and they fought to prevent
delay
others from surrendering. They were planning to resist as long as they can in order to get the regime involved in more casualties and Hezbollah also. This was their plan of Jabhat al-Nusra, to get them involved to cause casualties between Hezbollah and the regime. But what happened that the attack of the regime forces and the Hezbollah was quick and decisive and took over the city in within 48 hours.
What was the strength of Hezbollah in those operations?
Look, there is no high numbers. I think this front from the three directions does not need more than 1,000 fighters.
And you are the military man, so your numbers are accurate. But was it the strategy, the strength of Hezbollah coming from an intelligence area? Because we know that the help of Hezbollah in the conflict in Syria to the Syrian army was more likely an intelligence help, not only on the ground or with fighters.
Yes, there is an intelligence assistance. There is also an operational assistance through the storming and the raids.
Because we know that Hezbollah is an expert, than the Syrian
this is
army.
But they know about the Syrian army. They have their land forces. They have the warplanes. They have their helicopters. They have their artillery. They have their surface-to-surface missiles. So they have their tanks as well. So it was not only it's not a help. It's a coordination of the fighting forces more than a help, because of course, there was a command for this operation, and then the staff of this command, there are people who are Hezbollah, people from the Air Force, from the artillery, people from the ground forces.
So it was kind of a cooperation to end those operations.
Yeah.
You are a military man, and you were a general in the Lebanese army, and you are an expert in the field underground operations. If you want to say that the Syrian army have been fighting insurgents for 3 years now, and for the first 2 years, the Syrian army was fighting those insurgents alone, don't you think that it is about time that the Syrian army would be exhausted from those fights, and the ammunition that they have are not enough? What do you think the situation of the Syrian Arab army right now?
Look, to discuss the situation of the Syrian army, first of all, on the eve of the Syrian events and on March 2011, the Syrian army was prepared and was deployed to defend the Syrian public against the Israeli attack. It was all the military plans was to confront Israel, but suddenly it found itself in confrontation with domestic troubles inside the countryside and the
which is maybe for an army like the Syrian Arab army is harder, because it is not highly trained for such fights.
So the plan was that to keep the centers, the key cities, the centers of the muhafazat in the hand of the army,
mm-hmm.
starting from Quneitra, Suwaida, Daraa,
mm-hmm.
Damascus, Homs, Hama, Idlib, Aleppo, Tartus, Latakia, Hasaka, Raqqa, Deirzo. During the last 3 years, it lost Raqqa.
Mm-hmm.
And half of Halab and small part of Homs, mm-hmm. and the others are in the hands
because
of
those at the borders, the Turkish, so Iraqi borders, and the Lebanese ones.
They want to exhaust their forces in the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first great operation, as we say, if we can say, is the Kalamun operation, mm-hmm. which means that they occupied this this region and cleaned it from. All the armed opposition.
Because it is overlooking Damascus,
yes.
This is
and a step mm-hmm. to be followed by other steps in countryside Aleppo mm-hmm. and countryside Idlib and countryside Deir ez-Zor as well.
Mm-hmm.
That needed mm-hmm. some experience from Hezbollah.
Mm-hmm.
The main change in the Syrian strategy is that they formed what's so called national defense forces.
Mm-hmm.
From civilians that enlisted in mm-hmm. this
and the army that used to be army yes. members.
So, when the army attacks and occupy a part or a city or a town or a village, and then withdraw, mm-hmm. the Syrian national
defense forces
mm-hmm. will. Take over
mm-hmm.
and stay
to protect the regions.
Stay mm-hmm. to protect them from going
and
back.
And they also have in some areas, and I've seen them on the ground, popular committees who are from the people of the cities
yes.
who protect those areas after the
army. Those popular committees are now joining mm-hmm. the National Defense Forces.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This started really in Jarmana.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. This is where I saw it in Jarmana,
yes,
and the people of the area was
yes,
were protecting
the first
it.
Experience of the National Defense
mm-hmm.
Forces was in Jarmana, and
mm-hmm.
when it succeeded, it was, you know,
it spread all over Syria. If
you
want to briefly speak about the coming steps for the Syrian Arab Army and Hezbollah fighters against the insurgents and the fights. Now, we know that Kalamun area is now not fully, but it's the main region of it, or the main cities of the Kalamun area, is under the control of the Syrian Arab Army. What is next now?
Now, first of all, they want to continue the Kalamun area by chasing the militants to Renkous and
mm-hmm.
Flita and Ras Lamarra. The second step, I think the priority is to Damascus
mm-hmm.
countryside, mainly Jobar, Harasta, mm-hmm. Douma, Erbin, Zamalka. And
the
rest part of
Daraya,
the rest part of Daraya, knowing that most of Daraya is in the hands of the army, but
mm-hmm.
still some quarter in Daraya. So this is ending this in countryside
mm-hmm.
Damascus means that all the capital Damascus and
is
the countryside is secure
mm-hmm.
and the way to the central part. Then they will move to Homs.
Mm-hmm.
Homs, they're still in the downtown Homs, some mm-hmm. area, and we hear every day or every other day about
that
30
the Syrian
people,
army
five,
is advancing.
30 people,
mm-hmm.
5 people from the armed opposition, they ran away and
mm-hmm.
they hand themselves over to
mm-hmm.
the Syrian army and with their weapons as well. So there are still also two towns,
mm-hmm.
Telbisi and Rastan, which will be the only two towns on the way from Homs to Hama.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And later on we have Aleppo.
Later on
mm-hmm.
the countryside of Aleppo, knowing mm-hmm. that they can wage the war on two fronts on the
mm-hmm.
same side because it does not.
So they are moving one
yes.
One step at a time.
Do not
mm-hmm.
rule out
mm-hmm.
an attack in Aleppo and in countryside Damascus at the same time.
Mm-hmm. General Yas Farhat, thank you so much for being
General.
In the show with us. And you always give us those strategic information that we all need to know about. Thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Coming.
Thank you. Thank you
Dear
much.
Viewers, our time is up. Thank you for watching.